Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 17, the Lord agrees to become Aditi's son, text 25, and there are many verses without purports, and I'll just read the translations. Lord Brahma said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all glory is unto you, who are glorified by all, and whose activities are all uncommon. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, O Lord of the Transcendentalist, controller of the three modes of nature. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. Text 26. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the all-pervading Lord Vishnu, who have entered the cores of the hearts of all living entities. All the three worlds reside within your navel, yet you are above the three worlds. Formerly you appeared as the son of Prishni. To you, the Supreme Creator, who are understood only through Vedic knowledge, I offer my respectful obeisances. So who's praying here? That's what it says. Yes. Oh, my Lord, you are beginning. You are the beginning, the manifestation, and the ultimate dissolution of the three worlds. And you are celebrated in the Vedas as the reservoir of unlimited potencies. The Supreme Person. Oh, my Lord, as waves attract branches and leaves that have fallen to deep water, you are the supreme eternal time factor. Attract everything in this universe. Purport, the time factor is sometimes described as Kala Strota, waves of time. Everything in this material world is within the time factor and being carried away by the waves of attraction which represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 28. My Lord, you are the original generator of all living entities, stationary or moving, and you are also the generator of the Prajapatis. Oh, my Lord, as a boat is the only hope for a person drowning in the water, you are the only shelter for the demigods who are now bereft of their heavenly position. Chapter 18. I'll read the summary. This chapter describes how Lord Vamanadeva appeared and how he went to the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Bali, received him well, and fulfilled his desire by offering him benedictions. Lord Vamanadeva appeared in this world from the womb of Aditi, completely equipped with conch shell, disc, club, and lotus. Krishna comes well prepared. His Bali hue was blackish, and he was dressed in yellow garments. Lord Vishnu appeared at an auspicious moment on Shravana Dwadasi, when the Abhijit star had risen. So according to the Bhagavatam, there are auspicious moments, that astrology is not a fake science. It's actually can tell us when something auspicious will happen, like the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At that time, in all the three worlds, including the higher planetary system, outer space and this earth, all the demigods, the cows, the brahmanas, and even the seasons were happy because of God's appearance. Therefore, this auspicious day is called Vijaya, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has a Satchitananda body, appeared as the son of Kashyapa and Aditi. Both of his parents were very astonished. After his appearance, the Lord assumed the form of a dwarf, Vamana. All the great sages expressed their jubilation, and with Kashyapa Muni before them, they performed the birthday ceremony of Lord Vamanadeva. At the time of Lord Vamanadeva's sacred thread ceremony, he was honored by the sun god Brihaspati, the goddess presiding over the planet Earth, and the deity of the heavenly planets. His mother, Lord Brahma, Kuvera, and the seven rishis and others. Lord Vamadeva then visited the sacrificial arena on the northern side of the Narmada River at the field known as Brigu Kavacha. Kacha. Brigu Kacha. Where brahmanas of the Brigu dynasty were performing yagyas. Wearing a belt made of munja straw, an upper garment of deer skin, and a sacred thread, and carrying in his hands a danda, an umbrella, and a water pot, Kamadalu. Must be hard to carry a danda, an umbrella, and a water pot all simultaneously if you only have two hands. Lord Vamanadeva appeared in the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Bali. Because of his transcendently effulgent presence, all the priests were diminished in their prowess. Thus they all stood from their seats and offered prayers to Lord Vamanadeva. Even Lord Shiva accepts on the head the Ganges water generated from the toe of Lord Vamanadeva. Therefore, after washing the Lord's feet, Vali Maharaj immediately accepted the water from the Lord's feet on his head and felt that he and his predecessors had certainly been glorified. Then Bali Maharaj inquired of Lord Vamanadeva's welfare and requested the Lord to ask him for money, jewels, or anything he might desire. Text 1. Shri Shukuvacha Itam Virincha Sutta Karma Viryaha Prador Babu Vamrita Bur Adityam Chaturbhuja Sankha Kadabja Chakrak Pisangavasa Nali Na Yitikshanaha Shri Shukadev Goswami said, Itam, in this way, Virincha Stuta Karma Viryaha. The personality of Godhead whose activities and prowess are always praised by Lord Brahma. Pradura Babuva became manifested. Amrita Bhuya, whose appearance is always deathless. Adityam, from the womb of Aditi. Chaturbhuja, having four arms. Shankagara Abja Chakra, decorated with conch shell, club, lotus, and disc. Pisangavasa, dressed in yellow garments. Nalina Ayata Ikshanaha, having blooming eyes like the petals of a lotus. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami said, after Lord Brahma had thus spoken, glorifying the Supreme Lord's activities and prowess, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never subject to death like an ordinary living being, appeared from the womb of Aditi. His four hands were decorated with a conch shell, club, lotus, and disc. He was dressed in yellow garments, and his eyes appeared like the petals of a blooming lotus. Purport, the word Amrita Bhu is significant in this verse. The Lord sometimes appears like an ordinary child taking birth, but this does not mean that he is subject to birth, death, or old age. One must be very intelligent to understand the appearance and activities of the Supreme Lord and His incarnations. is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Janma karma tame divyam evam yoveti tatvatah. One should try to understand that the Lord's appearance and disappearance as activities are all divyam, or transcendental. The Lord has nothing to do with material activities. One who understands his appearance, disappearance, and activities of the Lord is immediately liberated. After giving up his body, he never again has to accept the material body, but is transferred to the spiritual world. Tyaktva deham panarjanma naitimam eti sorjana. If we just understand in tatvataha about Krishna's appearance and his activities, then we can go back to the spiritual world. And the word used here is tatvataha in the verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Tat means that, just like in English, T-A-T is tut, but you add an H and you get that. So tut is an easy Sanskrit word to remember if you know English. But that means something that you can actually point out that's perceivable. So tattva means a collection of things that are perceivable. Now, if we can actually experience Krishna, that's called tattva. Krishna's tattva. So Krishna says, janma karma tame divyam. If we actually experience the spiritual nature of Krishna, then we can go back to the spiritual world. But it takes some eligibility to experience Krishna by reading Bhagavad Gita or other literature. We will not necessarily understand Krishna in truth. We can understand Krishna in theory, but that doesn't mean we're experiencing Krishna. Sometimes we think Krishna consciousness is our present state of consciousness. But actually, Krishna consciousness is way beyond our present states of consciousness. Sattvam rajas tamayiti guna prakriti sambhava ivandanti mahabaho dehe dehinam avyam. The material nature consists of three modes: goodness, passion, ignorance. And when the living entity comes in contact with those modes, he becomes conditioned by them. So presently we're covered by the three modes of material nature, and we're experienced, everything we experience is determined by which mode of material nature we happen to be influenced by. Sadva nirupa sarvasha shradad bhavati bharata shradoma yoyo purusham yogat shradas eva saha. According to the three modes of material nature that the living entity exists within, he develops a certain kind of faith. So our conception of reality depends on the modes of nature we're situated in. It doesn't really depend upon actually what is reality. We're perceiving or conceiving of reality according to the modes of nature that we're under. But these modes of material nature are actually external to the soul. The soul has original consciousness, an original identity, original mind, original senses, and above everything has original intelligence, understanding of things. But according to the modes of nature that we're situated on, we have a certain kind of faith, and generally speaking, people act according to that faith. And by acting according to that faith, they'll develop another kind of faith. Therefore, in the material world, faith is always changing. We have faith in something for some time, and then, according to our activities, we may lose that affinity or that attachment to something because the modes of material nature under which we're situated have changed. Therefore, in the next verse, Krishna not only says we should understand him in truth, but he gives us the process by which we can understand him. In the 18th chapter, as well as in the 11th chapter, another verse that Krishna repeats twice. Does anyone know any verse that Krishna repeats twice in Bhagavad Gita? Any Bhagavad Gita scholars here? Manba Manmanava Madhakto Bajaji Mam Namaskuru Mamayvaishisi Satyam Te Pratijani Priyosime Manmanava Madhakto Bajaji Mam Namaskuru Mamayvaishisi Yuktaivam Atmanamat Parayanaha. Any other verse that's repeated twice? Oh, the 18 is a good guess, because it's Krishna goes over everything in the 18th chapter. Which verse in the 18th chapter, though? You have 78 to choose from. There's one verse that says, Shreyo Swadamo Viguna Paradharmat Sunusitat Shredharame Nidanam Shreyak Paradharmo Bhayavaha. That's repeated twice also. Shreyak Swadamo Viguna. It is better to perform one's own prescribed duty, even imperfectly, than to accept someone else's duty. Destruction, the cause of one's own duty, is better, because to take up someone else's duty is dangerous. That's also twice in Bhagavad Gita. And here we have another verse that's twice in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, 1855. Bhakti mam abhijananti yavan yas chasmi tattvataha tatomam tattvato gyatva vishite tat anantaram. And here also the word tattva is used. Tattva meaning to understand things in truth. And how do we understand tattva, reality? How do we come to the platform of experiencing Krishna with our spiritual senses? Yes, we have to do devotional service. And what is devotional service? Does anyone know? To please Krishna. How do you please Krishna? What's that? Yeah, what is just by words and action? Oh, Krishna, I love you. Krishna, oh, I'm so pleased with that. How do we? What are the elements of devotional service? What are the elements that we have to? Yes, that's not one of the elements. Any other guesses? Yeah, those are elements of devotional service, shravanam, kirtanam. But basically, our definition is anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karma daravritam anukulena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. Pure devotional service is characterized by one's following Krishna's instructions in order to please Krishna. And that's ordinary devotional service. And pure devotional service is devoid of any other activity other than trying to please Krishna, than the nine processes of devotional service, and devoid of any other desire other than to please Krishna. So that's called bhakti. When Ramananda Roy was speaking to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking about what is the process of reaching perfection. And basically, Ramananda Roy cited from Bhagavad Gita, verses from the Bhagavad Gita mainly, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected all of them as being external, including Krishna's last instruction, Sarva Dharma Prajaja. Does that mean that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had rejected his teachings that he had taught 4,500 years ago? He decided that they were useless and that he said they're all external. Is that right? Are you sure? So why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say eko bhaya, that they're external? Deeper? We should go deeper. Well, actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, for instance, Sarva Dharma Purujaja. I mean, we haven't even gone to the the previous verses that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cited, such as Deinos minitai dehe kamaram yovanam jara. So, no, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just thought that these things are impractical, that's all. The conditioned souls in Kali Yuga just don't have the ability to perform these activities. We're not about to give up everything and surrender to Krishna. Because we don't even know who Krishna is, how can we surrender to him? Besides that, generally speaking, we don't even know how much attachments we have. And as far as yad karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad jahosi, didasi, that requires a high degree of Krishna consciousness also, to be constantly offering everything we're doing to Krishna really requires a high degree of Krishna consciousness. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted a verse that Ramananda Roy gave where he said, Yane priyasam udapastanamandeva, that we should put aside our conceptions of life. We can't give them up because we're conditioned by Krishna's illusory energy. And that illusory energy, Krishna says, Daivyesha Gunamayi Mamamaya Dharatya, is as powerful as he is. He's empowered that energy to delude us, and we're certainly being deluded by it. So we can't just walk out of our body saying, I quit. Material concepts of life. I'm not going to be influenced by my mind anymore or by my senses. I'm going back to the spiritual world. Put out your finger and wait for the next Vaikuntha airplane to fly by. Catch a ride with it back to Vaikuntha. No, that's not possible. But he said, put it aside at least, realizing that my present conception is not necessarily reality. And Namandeva, become submissive to who? Jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartam, to persons who are more advanced than we are, who might know something more than we do about Krishna, try to hear from them submissively. So I'm submissive, and so what? Stanestita. They're not going to tell us to change what we're doing, our position. But Shudigatam, but to hear Krishna's message from the Vedas, from the Shruti, specifically Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, to listen. And then Vangmanobhira, Tanu Vangmanobhira, with the body, mind, and words, engage ourselves in trying to do something for Krishna, to please Krishna. So, someone can give us classes or meant to give us some indication how I could better occupy my mind and my senses and my intelligence in Krishna's service. And if we do that, ye priyasa jita taistri lokyam, then Krishna will become pleased and tatesh dadami buddhi yogantam. He'll give us the intelligence by which we can make progress to becoming aware of Krishna. That Krishna will help us in every respect, especially by giving us intelligence so we can understand more clearly what is the process of becoming conscious of Krishna. So that's called bhakti, the process of bhakti. Hearing, trying to understand, hearing from the right source, trying to understand, and then applying that in our present life with our body, mind, and words, and waiting for Krishna's mercy so that we can understand what is the process of becoming conscious of Krishna. And then Krishna says in the next verse, Vidaraga vaya krodha manmaya mamupashitya bahava jnana tapasa putamadbhavam agata. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger. So one of our methods of seeing how much we're making progress is how much I'm becoming free from anxiety and fear and anger and attachment. That if I'm not becoming free from attachment or from fear or from anger, little at a time, we're very much attached to our fears and our angers and our frustrations. This is like part of us. It's what we live to serve these things. But a little bit at a time, getting free from them, then we can become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Being fully absorbed in me, by taking refuge in me, we have to become dependent on Krishna. It's not that we can become free from attachment or fear and anger. We have to take shelter of Krishna. He's the only one who can do it for us. Otherwise, even when we become a little free from attachment or from fear or from anger, then we become puffed up. And we start imagining that I'm purifying myself. But actually, Krishna will help us if we just try to follow his instructions that coming from his representatives. We just try to do that, then Krishna will help us. All the representatives can do is repeat what Krishna has said and try to themselves surrender to Krishna. But if we do that, then Krishna will help in different ways, or in every way possible he can, so that we become conscious of Krishna. But especially these three things, attachment to the material concept of life, that I am this body, everyone else is their body, my purpose of being here is to somehow or another find a comfortable material position and avoid all the discomforts of material existence. And especially fear, Prabhupada points out, our main fear is, what's going to happen when I leave this body? Where am I going? And for those who are transcendentalists, they fear a personal spiritual identity. They think eternal spiritual identity is going to be something like my material existence. I'll go back to the spiritual world, and all my enemies will be there forever. All the people I disagreed with here in devotional service, I'll be fighting it out with them in the spiritual world forever. And they'll give me some service I don't like there, telling me I have to surrender. Eternally I'll be surrendering to washing dishes in Krishna's kitchen. And I don't like washing dishes. But I'm going to have to surrender forever. So fear of a personal spiritual identity, or the idea that after I leave this body, I just disappear. So this is also rather frustrating. I and the biggest demons, we all disappear, and that's it. Doesn't matter if you're a good person or a bad person. At the end, it's all the same. Zero. So these conceptions have been inculcated, which means they've been taught to us since our childhood, and they're very deep-rooted, because we've been hearing them since time immemorial. You are that body. If you believe in the soul, then the soul will go somewhere which is eternally, which you don't like, or you'll just disappear forever. And that's it. It's the end of the story. Struggle for 100 years here and then die. So to become free from these conceptions, one has to take to the process of devotional service, guided by the expert spiritual master. And the goal is to obtain bhava, or love for Krishna. And the more we develop love for Krishna, and the more Krishna reveals himself to us, and the more these misconceptions dissipate, and we can understand Krishna as he actually is. We can understand ourselves as we actually are too. Good. Okay. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for lecture. I have two questions. One is in previous chapter, it was mentioned the name of Prishni. You formerly was known as son of Prishni.
Prishni.
I don't.
Well, I never met her myself either. But she is the Prishni and Sutapa. They were demigods in the heavenly planets. And they were, Krishna said he was going to appear when Devaki and Vasudev, in their previous incarnation, they were known as Prishni Garba and Sutapa. And they performed austerities for many years, and Krishna appeared before them after many thousands of years of austerities as Vishnu, known as Prishni Garba. And that Prishni Garba incarnation appeared, that's the incarnation that appeared before Dhruva Maharaj. And then they took birth again as Kasyapa and Aditi, which is this present incarnation. And then they appeared as Vasudev and Devaki. Anything? Second question.
Lord Krishna asked Aditi not to tell anyone he was.
Yeah, it's hard to keep a good secret. These things get out. It's hard to keep secrets from demigods, since some of them they're omniscient. I mean, Krishna didn't care if the demigods came. It was other people he didn't want to come. People like Kamsa.
Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.10 writes, by strenuously following the principle, either in all or...
P-A-R-T-S? Follow the principle by parts. I don't know the whole... I could speculate, but I don't know. I don't know the context, but probably was saying what comes before and what comes after. I can't answer without seeing the whole thing. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.